Welcome everyone to the AWAI Web Intensive Continuing Education Series. I'm Charlotte Hicks, and this month we welcome Dr. Mike Lasasso to our call. Mike receives his Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from Texas A&M University. He's been a practicing veterinarian for almost 20 years. He's currently Chief of Staff at the Burleson Animal Emergency Hospital in Texas and Vice President of Marketing and PR at Beko Physiotherapeutics, which provides pet mobility products. Mike works as a copywriter in the pet industry and is the publisher of a consumer newsletter for veterinary practices. He is also a black belt, which comes in handy as a father of four. One of the ways Mike has marketed his services is through industry events, and he's here today to tell us a bit more about marketing yourself at events. So welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit about how and why you became a copywriter?
I became a copywriter in part because the folks in my industry are really, and this may not certainly be unique to my industry, really poor at marketing. And it also gave me a way to potentially step out of my role here working 24-hour shifts because I'm getting older and they're getting harder. It gives me a way to work from home and spend more time with those four kids.
Well, a lot of people have gone into copywriting just for those very type of lifestyle issues. So I know you've done a variety of projects in the pet industry, and you've done some different things to market yourself. But you know, what we're going to talk about today is attending events within your industry and how you can potentially market yourself at those. So could you share with us maybe an example of an event that you've attended and how it was a benefit to you?
Well, I've attended probably between 35 and 40 continuing education events over the last 20 years. And I've attended those in a variety of capacities. Most of those have been as an attendee. You know, I go to CE events, continuing education events, because I'm required to do that in order to keep my license. It keeps me current, and I also learn a lot about that's events are where we learn a lot about the new products that are out there. Of course, a lot of the exhibitors have got show specials, and people tend to buy a lot of especially high-priced equipment at shows because of the discounts that those guys offer. But I've also attended, started last year, I attended one as a in what I'll call covert copywriter mode. I was an attendee, but I wasn't there to learn any medicine or even any marketing or any of the business courses that were offered, but I was there to actually talk to the vendors because the vendors are my clients. The veterinarians that are attending are their clients, but the people that I write for and the people that I help are actually industry that's selling to veterinarians. Because I am their target market, I really understand who they're trying to reach. And then earlier this year, I also attended as a vendor. I mean, I actually had a booth in the exhibit hall. So I've done that a couple of different ways.
Well, I imagine attending as a covert copywriting vendor has some different nuances there. Obviously, if you're a vendor, everyone knows you're there to pitch yourself, and you can very openly promote your services.
No, absolutely. And the big difference for me in the way that I was doing things when I was at a booth as a vendor, I was there as a publisher. I wasn't there as a copywriter. I was actually there for my newsletter business because in that particular capacity, the veterinarians that were attending, they are my target audience. So I was in with the vendors trying to talk to the attendees. When I had gone last year to one of the big conferences, I was actually there as a copywriter. So I was really not interested in any of the attendees. I couldn't have cared less what the veterinarian thought. Who I was talking to were the vendors in between all the breaks, you know, trying to get a feel for their marketing frustrations and how I could help them better sell to the attendees.
So when you were going there as a covert copywriter, as you call yourself, did you run into any issues with marketing without being a vendor? Were there any particular times you needed to be careful in what you said or what you did so you didn't anger the people that had paid? Because obviously it's expensive to get a booth at a conference or a convention.
Well, it is. I mean, some of the conferences that I've looked at and considered being a vendor for, booths are between, say, $2,000 and $5,000, depending on the size of the booth, and obviously most of them are fairly small. It's the really heavyweight companies in industry that are going to have the 20 by 30 corner booth. Usually you're talking an 8 by 8 or a 10 by 10. But I never ran into problems when I was in that mode, because I really wasn't interfering with them. I wasn't in competition with any of the vendors. I wasn't targeting the same people they were targeting. I was targeting them. And the other thing you don't realize when you're used to, like I was, it was a very different situation for me attending in either a copywriter or even an exhibitor kind of capacity, was that I was so used to showing up to these things as an attendee. I go to class, and most of my world or my time was really consumed with, where do I go next? What class am I going to? What makes the most sense for me in my particular realm of practice, which is emergency medicine? When I was there as an exhibitor, and it was really the most obvious as an exhibitor, you get a real good appreciation for what the vendors and the exhibitors go through, because these guys have to deal with the tidal wave of people that will come at the longer breaks. Suddenly the exhibit hall will be flooded with hundreds or potentially thousands of people, depending on what kind of a conference you're going to and how big it is. And then when the break's over, you go right back to doing absolutely nothing for the next hour and a half to 2 hours. And it's a real interesting ebb and flow, I guess is appropriate, but it's a little bit more extreme than that. So it's very different. And when I was there as a copywriter, I tried very hard not to interfere with how those folks were trying to, how the vendors were selling to the attendees. I kind of waited and let the wave of people go back to the classes, and then while the exhibitors had nothing to do, I would walk around and talk to them each individually, and I essentially walked up and down the rows, you know, just talking to about everybody.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of that. To use that downtime, since you are doing B2B marketing, use that downtime to interact with those vendors, because otherwise they're just sitting there talking to the same old people in their booth that they've talked to for the last 2 days.
they would probably welcome a conversation. Yes, and a lot of times those are the same two people that they talk to all day every day. You know, so they have no real desire to spend any more time with those folks in a lot of situations. I did the same thing when I was a vendor. I would actually go around and talk to the other vendors, because really there's nothing to do in that exhibit hall when the attendees aren't there. So I was able to network and to talk to some people that would have potentially some interest in what I was doing, and trying to figure out ways that we could help each other market our own services or just serve as a good networking opportunity.
Wow, that's a great idea if you are working as a vendor too, to connect with some of the other vendors, because there's certainly times when I know one vendor will recommend another one if they don't have competing services. And if it's
right.
You get a buyer, and a buyer is a buyer, so if they're still looking for another service and you can point them in the right direction, it just makes them even more grateful to you for what you're able to do for them.
Absolutely.
So what did you find being in the exhibit booth? I know in the past I've worked in some shows, and some are more demanding than others, but what did you find for you that really worked having the exhibit booth, and what maybe didn't work as well?
Well, my exhibiting experience was probably a little bit different than what most other people are going to find. I didn't actually pay for my own booth and rent my own booth. I was actually sharing a booth with a company that I had done some copywriting services and some script writing for, and they were local to me and didn't mind me taking up a little bit of space in their booth. So that was great for me from the aspect that I didn't have to pay anything. I just showed up. that was nice. The downside was that there wasn't a lot of room for any of my own signage or marketing materials. So it was, I kind of felt like I was halfway ambushing the people that would come by. Some folks would see the little tabletop easel that I had and would say, oh, wait, that doesn't fit with what those guys are doing. I said, no, this is totally separate. So that was an interesting experience, and I'm not so sure that I will do that again because it was kind of disjointed. Now, when I go to another national show as a representative of one of the companies that I work with, when we go for BECO, then I will have a lot more say in the kind of signage, and I will absolutely go in both capacities, but I'll have more signage in the booth so that people really know what they're dealing with. But it was interesting from the aspect of being able to talk to some of my classmates and people I haven't seen in a long time, to other veterinarians that I may not have known, because that show was local and I know a lot of those folks. But it was also nice to be able to go out and talk to, like I said, some of those vendors, because the product that I was selling or promoting to the veterinarians, to the attendees of this conference, is a newsletter service. So that I send newsletters out on their behalf to their clients. It's a done-for-you newsletter. It's not a real complicated process. But I discovered that I could talk to some of the other vendors who sell products through the veterinarians, and the pet owner is the end client, is the person who's actually doing the real buying. The veterinarian is really a wholesaler. And I could talk to some of these vendors and say, look, if your client is selling this product if your veterinarian client is selling this product to their pet owner clients, they would probably want that in a newsletter, and that would benefit the veterinarian, but it would also benefit the manufacturer. So trying to get the manufacturer's reps kind of on board with what I was doing and helping to promote my stuff to their clients, whether that it was at that show or whether it was when they were meeting them in their own clinics. So it was meeting with the vendors was kind of an interesting experience for me.
And I imagine, it's one thing to bill yourself as a veterinarian copywriter, even say, well, I am a practicing veterinarian, but when you show up at an industry event and you're able to have those face-to-face conversations and demonstrate that you know the lingo and you can ask the questions, I would think that would really help you position yourself well moving forward with those potential clients or potential joint venture or affiliate type relationships.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, having a good website and everything that we do digitally is really important. I mean, it's what we do as web writers, but there still is nothing that beats the face-to-face conversation and the physical chemistry and how well you get along with those folks. And can really relate to them. It's a lot easier to have a conversation in person, and it's a lot of times it's the tangential things that don't really seem to matter that are really what makes that bond a lot stronger.
So would you say that one of the big advantages of going to these events is actually the networking you get to do versus actually closing clients at the event?
I mean, that's been my experience. I've done a lot more making contacts with an industry and getting a name out there. I haven't had the opportunity to speak at any of these conferences yet. That's definitely on the goal for next year. So not having had the opportunity to do that, then, yeah, I would say that my biggest advantage, the biggest thing I've taken away from these conferences really is more networking than it is closing any real business.
And I would think that places to get where your industry is, that an event like the ones you've gone to are really probably the best opportunity to network with a lot of people in a short period of time.
I would sure think so. That would be my experience. When I go to a meeting that is of all of the veterinarians, or it's offered all the veterinarians in the five-state area that I live in down here in Texas, that's nice, because what that does is when you've got all these veterinarians there, it pulls all the big national exhibitors, as well as some of my local, the mom and pop vendors, people that make things that, you know, we take for granted or don't really even realize that the whole company is just three people. There are a lot of those in my industry, and I'm sure there are a lot of them in every single industry, where, you know, most of these vendors are going to bring their salespeople, because what they're trying to do is obviously sell to the attendees. But the smaller companies will also bring all their marketing people, because a lot of times the marketing and the salespeople are the same. It's the same guy. I have talked to numerous company presidents and owners, whatever title they felt like giving themselves, because it was the guy and his wife and his two kids and one of the kids' friends, and that's the company. So it gives you a better idea of who you're dealing with, because you really don't get that impression when you're looking at space ads in the trade rags, or even on some of their online ads or their websites. You don't realize how small these companies really are. And you don't realize that, yeah, you're talking to the vice president of marketing. And if you've taken the time before the conference, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit, to look at their website and see how they're marketing themselves, it's a nice way to be able to talk to them a little bit about what they are and aren't doing and what is and is not working for them.
You know, what you mentioned going to these continuing education conferences, and you know, a lot of us think of industry events when we think of the big national convention. But are there other events that maybe may even be a better place for someone that's new to attending events to start?
Well, I think it really depends on who your target audience is, who your ideal client is. For me, because I wear so many different hats, not only in the clinic, but as an entrepreneur, I'm interested in going and speaking, and have started to make contacts with some of my local, we call them VMAs, Veterinary Medical Associations, but we do that not only on a state level, we also have several at the county level. So these are guys that get together, and it's probably the same 20 or 30 folks that get together once a month. And those people are excellent prospects for me for my newsletter business. From a copywriter standpoint and dealing with the B2B people, then there are more of the state level. There certainly are national shows, and I've been to some of those. You get a lot of the same vendors at the state level that you do at the national level, and because the state meetings tend to be a little bit smaller, it may be actually easier to spend the time networking. You know, their lives aren't quite as hectic as at the Texas meeting as they are at the national meeting, where you've got, you know, where you've got a difference between 1,500 or 2,000 attendees and 16,000 attendees. You know, it's easier to talk to them, I think, at the smaller meetings.
Yeah, I would also think that maybe it might be just less expensive and maybe more convenient to find something that's near you. It sounds like just about any industry would have some type of at least a state level event, if not a local event, that might be good for a first time attendee to go and kind of get feet wet in that business.
Yeah, I would absolutely stay fairly close. Now, depending on where you are in your state, it may not be your state's meeting. You know, if you're in a city that's right on the border, it could be that another state's meeting is only an hour away, whereas, I mean, Texas, my state meeting could be 10 hours away and still be here. I was fortunate enough that the meeting that I went to and actually attended as an exhibitor was here in Dallas. So, I mean, it was a kind of a no-brainer for me. If I'm not paying for the booth and I don't have to pay hotel or any real travel costs, I have to pay parking once I get downtown on the day I don't take the train, it's kind of silly for me not to do it. I kind of forced myself to attend because I didn't have a good reason not to. But if I'd had to travel to Austin, it's still only a 3-hour drive versus, if I'm attending the big show in California, well, that's a lot more. Now I've got hotel and flight expense and all that. I would definitely start as small and local as you can manage.
All right, that's great advice. So, you know, we've talked a bit about walking around the exhibit hall and talking with vendors, networking with some of the attendees. Would you recommend actually attending some of the sessions they have at these events to hear what's going on in the industry and see what people are talking about?
Well, I think that's a great idea, especially, well, I guess I would have to clarify that. It really depends, again, on who your target market is. And because I've attended these in different capacities, I kind of look at them differently. When I was there as a vendor, I actually did attend some sessions. Part of that was because I still need CE hours, and part of that was because I was so bored sitting in that booth. I said, you know what, nobody is going to come in here. And part of that was because of the way the convention center in Dallas is laid out, and it was also the way the show itself was planned. We had, when the exhibit hall, or whatever that's going to be called at your particular event, is way off to one side and the breaks are really short, you don't get a lot of traffic through the exhibit hall. And that's something that I think all of the vendors eventually learn. As I was talking to some of these folks, they're like, yeah, we hate events that are here in this particular convention center. We're considering not even attending events here. Because of the way things are laid out, there's not enough traffic through the vendor area to make it worth doing. But I did attend a couple of sessions. Actually, those were both on social media and on marketing, not because I needed to know more about Facebook pages. I think I've probably got actually better information through Web Intensive than these folks are going to give me. But what I wanted to know is who is talking about this stuff, and going up and meeting them and networking actually with the speakers. That was my goal in attending the particular meetings or the particular talks that I went to.
Well, I think you made a really important point in talking about that, and that is looking at not just where the event is and who's going to be there, but also if you're planning on spending a good bit of time, and certainly if you're planning on exhibiting, look at how the exhibit booths are located relative to where the conference is located and how much time are attendees actually going to have in the exhibit hall. Because you certainly don't want to invest in a situation where you go and pay for an exhibit booth and then no one ever comes.
Yes, and it can be a very expensive proposition to do that. And unfortunately, I think that it's a little bit of a crapshoot in that if you haven't done it before and if you haven't been in that particular venue, it's harder to really know. So if you've got contacts in the industry, if you know people that market or that you do some work maybe for a client that frequently exhibits at some of these shows, I would ask them. I would say, hey, what do you guys think about this venue? Have you been here before? Is this a good show for you, or is this a really lackluster show? When I was at this Southwest Vet Symposium here in Dallas just a couple months ago, they all said, oh, we're so glad that the contract is up, so this conference will no longer be held at the Dallas Convention Center. We're going somewhere else, whether it's Houston or Fort Worth or somewhere else. They hated that venue. So I think it's worth talking to people if you've got contacts in the industry to say, hey, is this show any good? I had the same folks that were kind enough to let me use their booth here in Dallas also had a booth at a show up in Vancouver. And I talked to them. I said, you know, would you guys be willing to maybe even trade some services, as I try to keep my cash flow down, would you guys let me do the same thing, kind of tag along in your booth? And they said, well, absolutely. We've got no problem with that at all. And this was the Veterinary Hospital Managers Association meeting. These were my prime clients, because honestly, I don't want to deal with doctors. I want to deal with their staff, because it's the staff that gets stuff done. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a great opportunity to go see these people and to really to meet them, and I can get a lot of subscriptions sold, and this trip is going to be really worthwhile. And the folks that I was going to go in with said, you know, this is our last year actually sponsoring a booth at this particular event because the event is so crappy. He said, the people that are going are absolutely going for the continuing education, for the classes. They've got no interest in anybody's vendor booth, and their exposure to the vendor is about 10 minutes at breakfast and 10 minutes at lunch. They don't get very long breaks, and you don't see anybody during the day. So, yes, you absolutely can tag along with us and be in our booth, but I think it's a waste of your flight money.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay, I appreciate that advice, and I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So those marketers will tell you, say, this is a great show for us. This is why we like it. They see things from a really practical perspective that if you've never been a vendor, you would never even think to consider. You know, how long the breaks are, where is the exhibit hall in relation to the classes or the seminars or whatever else is going on, and what kind of support does that conference or that seminar, that meeting, what kind of support do they really show their vendors? Is there a wine and cheese event in the middle of the exhibit hall for an hour? Well, that's going to pull people into the exhibit hall. If there's no attempt, if there's no event within the exhibit hall, then that's, you know, obviously not going to pull people in, and it makes it harder to justify potentially going to that show, especially if you're trying to choose one or the other, one show versus another.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because at least those are some questions that you can ask the event planner of the organization that's putting on the event when you're considering, if you're considering exhibiting, to say, ask them, how long are the breaks? Are you doing anything to bring people into the exhibit hall and find out? I would think pretty quickly you could determine whether or not they really have an interest in promoting their vendors or not.
Exactly. And if you've been to the, I mean, in my case, I've been to a lot of these events as an attendee. So if you think about what you would do as an attendee, think, okay, I've got an hour-long class, and then I've got a 10-minute break, and then I've got another hour-long class. Is it really worth me getting up in those 10 minutes and changing rooms? Is it really worth walking all the way to the exhibit hall if you know where those things are located, and then trying to go all the way back? I mean, there just isn't enough time. You can frequently get the schedules. At least I've been able to find the schedules for my events online at the website for the conference itself. You can certainly look through the exhibitor information, and you'll be able to find out what kind of support services there are, as well as the layout of the entire place and the timing of breaks and those things.
One of the things that you had mentioned was actually who attends, and you were saying that there are some events that it was exactly your target market. And I can remember being in the when I was in the insurance industry, hearing from vendors at the Young Agents Conference. They loved coming to that conference because the young agents were hungry and selling, and they were the ones that they knew would promote their products, whereas the main convention they had was predominantly older agency owners that were there to see the friends and not necessarily, you know, really looking to do business with the vendors. So I just wanted to highlight that for the people that are listening, is that could be a really, really important point of which event you choose to go to as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I suspect in any industry, I mean, I obviously know my own much better than I know anybody else's, but we have very large national or state continuing education offerings that have a lot of good classes on medicine, that also have good classes on management, including marketing. But there are more specialized conferences as well, specifically for hospital managers. There are conferences in veterinary medicine, there are conferences strictly for the avian veterinarians. They have their own. The guys that work on parrots have their own conference. And they use products that the rest of us don't use. Birds are very different than dogs and cats, in case nobody knew that. So we have these very segmented conferences, and it could be that you would find a better, that your target audience is better represented at one versus the other. So I would choose the conference based on where your target is going to be, not necessarily on which one is closest to your house.
Well, that's great advice. So let's say you decide that you're definitely going to go to a conference or a convention or some type of event. And you had mentioned looking at the websites of the vendors you plan to talk to. What are some other things you would do before you went to the event to maximize your effectiveness when you're at the event?
Well, if I was going, if you're going as a vendor, if what you're trying to do is sell something to the attendees, or you're trying to do some lead generation stuff for the attendees, you typically, if you're the one paying for the booth, you're going to get a mailing list, and it may be limited to one or two mailers, but you certainly can mail direct mail pieces to the attendees before you go, and you can offer some kind of a free giveaway, or even if that's a website audit or something else that costs you nothing but time. So that's something to consider. If I was going again as in covert copywriter mode, if I was going to go as an attendee, but I wasn't really going to attend the conference, I was going to talk to the vendors, I think I would look pretty closely at the conference website and at any information that the conference sent me as far as a list of the vendors, and I would go through and I would look at all of their websites. And I would actually do that. Well, I'd probably do that on a Mac or PC. I'd do that on a big computer first. But I would make a list of those that I really wanted to talk to, and then I would honestly visit those websites again on my iPad. And the reason I would do that is because it makes it really easy to take a screenshot of their website, and then using an app like Sketch or Explain Everything, one of those apps where you can draw on your screen, if I take a screenshot of somebody's website and then I circle their lead gen attempt, or I make a note, no lead gen whatsoever, then I can save that image into an album on my iPad or even on my phone, and not have to walk around with a notebook and try to remember, when I get to this booth, I need to remember to talk to them about so-and-so. I can look down at a picture that shows the, not the discrepancies, but where they lack, and say, oh, yeah, I need to talk to them about this, or ask them how this is working. And I think it's a good way to take a visual note. So that's kind of doing your research. Is one of the things. You're not going to necessarily know who the people are, and I think that trying to figure out, you absolutely could spend the time. If you've got a lot of time on your hands, you can absolutely search through LinkedIn and figure out who the marketing officers are for XYZ company, so that if you run into them, you know who they are. For me, that's a lot of effort, and I'm not so sure that it would really pay off. I absolutely would hook up with those folks on LinkedIn after I met them, though. But we're talking about preparation beforehand. It really is looking into who the vendors are, assuming they are your target, that's who you're looking for, and kind of trying to be familiar with what products they sell and what pain points they're trying to use, and really how you would approach their marketing. If they've got a fantastic marketing plan and everything looks really good, I might not even approach them first. I would concentrate on the folks that look like they need more help. I don't know if that's the wisest way to do things, but that's what I would do.
Well, I tell you, I think that idea with the iPad, that could be a $1 million idea for somebody that really wanted to jump on that and do that. I mean, we've always heard do your homework ahead of time, but I think that takes it to a whole nother level. It's really being prepared to engage them in the conversation, not just being aware of who they are, but really being prepared for that conversation.
Right. And you could even, it's just a it's a good way to capture that image, because in my experience in exhibit halls, you get really crappy cell reception. So if you do it beforehand, and all you do is take a screenshot, I mean, on I don't know about the other tablets. I know on my phone and on the iPad, I hit the home button and the power button at the same time, and it takes a picture of whatever I see on the screen, and then I can come back later and annotate that and save that as a new image and put it in the album. And if I it's real easy for me to scroll through there, and I don't walk up to these vendors with a great big yellow pad. That is a kind of a red flag for the people that potentially are looking at you. What is that guy doing exactly, walking through here with a pad? Because that's not normal behavior. And it is a good way. You absolutely could. I haven't tried actually showing the vendor saying, look, this is what your website looks like, and is this lead gen piece really working for you? Why are you giving this away as your special report? Would it work better for this? Or just ask the question, how well is this working? Are you giving a lot of these away? Are you even bothering to track this? You know, do you even know how many people download this special report? So I think those are all, it's a good way to, I think, enter that conversation.
Well, and it also is positioning you as more than just a copywriter. Instead of going up and saying, hey, I write copy, you're really positioning yourself as a consultant and as an expert in their industry.
Well, and that's personally where I would always try to come from. You asked me at the very beginning why I became a copywriter, and what I didn't say was at boot camp last year I retired as a copywriter and said, no, that's not what I do anymore. I'm a marketing consultant, and looking at it in a slightly different way, I happen to write copy. And that's fine. I could also farm that out. I mean, I could outsource that. But if you approach them in a much broader, from a much broader perspective, I think you bring more value to them, because they don't know that they need somebody to write copy. They need somebody to just do this. You know, if you're the guy that can do it, whether you're doing it all yourself or whether you're acting as an agency, I think that you've got a better chance to land in the business.
Yeah, that's a great point. You had mentioned hooking up with people on LinkedIn once you've had a chance to meet them. What other things would you recommend that once you've attended the event and you've networked with people and met people, what would you do once you've gone home to take advantage of those contacts that you've made?
Well, I certainly would follow up at least. I said, if you can find them on LinkedIn, then I think that's a great way to get them kind of in their network. And if you ever post things on LinkedIn, that way they see you a little bit. You certainly can follow each other on Twitter or something. I don't personally use a whole lot of Twitter, so I don't find that real useful. I try to send those folks an email. And if they're local, you know, you certainly can meet them. I mean, I've got several manufacturers that are actually here local, and I've gone and spoken to them and gone and said, hey, you know, can we meet for coffee sometime, and let's talk about what your marketing needs are and what areas you find really challenging and something that I can do to help you. So yeah, just kind of keeping in contact with them, I think it's what I've done. I don't have any revelation there, but just making sure that you keep that contact alive. And if you see something in the news or you see something that seems particularly applicable, I spent a lot of time talking when I was the covert copywriter. I spent some time talking with one of the bigger companies, and I generally tried to avoid them because they've got their own in-house marketing departments. They weren't a real good use of my time. But I did talk to one of them extensively about how to use QR codes and what those did. And for a long time, whenever I'd find something about a new use of QR code or something like that, I would absolutely forward that article to her. You know, just try to keep those conversations top of mind.
Yeah, that's great. But that indicated that you really were listening to her and what her concerns were and what her needs were. And I think that would set you apart from a lot of people that go to these events and just talk about themselves.
Yeah, no, it's not ever about you.
We know that in marketing, but sometimes we tend to fall into that trap anyway.
Yeah,
are there any other pieces of
advice?
It's
not about what you can bring to the party. It's about how can you help them? Because they don't necessarily care a whole lot about you until they figure out that you can answer some of the questions they have or address the pain points that they've got.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have any other tips that you like to pass along about attending events, or would you encourage someone that hasn't tried it to try it as another form of marketing?
Oh, absolutely. Especially if even if all you can do is attend, and there are some industries, I know my conferences tend to be fairly expensive, but I suspect that there are a lot of trade shows and things that really aren't that expensive to just attend and just spend some time chatting with the vendors. Even if you think sometime in the future that going to this show would be a great place for you to be a vendor, but you're not ready to be a vendor yet, go to the show this year and talk to some of those guys and say, you know, is this a good show, or is the show in Oklahoma City better, or is the one in Albuquerque better? What do you like about this one? What would you do differently? And kind of feel those guys out for what the guys that are in the trenches really think about how that show is and what they would do differently, so that when you get there, you know, you've got some advice to follow. I think that being there live is a great opportunity to meet the attendees as well as vendors. They may not be fellow vendors, especially if you're there as a copywriter. But yeah, it's a great way to meet a huge group of people and get some really valuable networking in.
Well, Mike, you've given us a lot of really, really good information. I've attended a lot of events, and you pointed out some things that I never would have even thought of. So I thank you so much for taking this time to do this, and we wish you continued success with your marketing business and the BECO that you're working with now as well. That sounds like a very exciting opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for having me.
And I want to remind everyone on the call that to sign up for the Web Intensive. It's coming up February 17th to the 21st. As alumni, you qualify for the biggest discount if you register before November the 30th, which is just the end of next week. So you can go ahead and jump on that right away and get your biggest savings. You can call member services or register through the AWAI website, and I would encourage you to go ahead and do that now so you don't miss that opportunity. So, again, Mike, thank you so much for taking this time. This has been a great call and very informative with lots of very practical information, I believe, for our web copy specialists.
All right. Well, thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.